Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Oh, we bless you, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy. Yes, Lord. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we just exalt you and praise you. Thank you that you are so faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you are so loving and so gracious, Lord. Thank you for forgiving our sins, Lord. Thank you for lifting us up out of the pits, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're our healer, that you're our provision today, Lord, that you provide, that you're so gracious and kind, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We honor you. We ask you, Lord, to move in this service, Lord, even as you already have begun to move. Lord, let your presence and your power just fall strong upon every person, wherever they are, whatever's going on, Lord. Jesus is more than enough. So we reach up to receive your power and your love, Lord. Your forgiveness, your grace, and your goodness into our lives today. We magnify you and exalt you because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap this morning and let's bless the Lord together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be seated. Wonderful worship time. Thank you, worship team. Really grateful for these guys and the hard work they do. And I'm grateful for air conditioning today. I don't know. Are you? I said to my wife, I said, we left at 20 minutes. No. I think, we're on the highway at about 20 minutes to 9 this morning. At 20 to 9, it was 83 degrees. And I said, Lord, thank you that I'm headed to an air-conditioned building. And I said to my wife, I said, there must be a special, Lord, thank you for whoever invented air conditioning. There must be a special place. Then I was thinking, I wonder if he went to heaven. And then I thought, wouldn't it be terrible if the guy who invented air conditioning was in hell? Anyway, I don't know. That would be unusual, and I don't even want to think about that. But I am glad for air conditioning today. I'm also glad because my wife gave me a hit off her Gateway Cafe mocha this morning. And I feel spun after about three hits on that thing, and I'm like, wow. They're doing something right in that cafe. So speaking of cafe, welcome to everybody that's in the cafe. And can the people in the auditorium just give a hand clap to the people that are in the cafe this morning? Just so they know, you know. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you fathers. And God bless you. Thank you very much for all your well wishes. I love being together on holidays. I don't know, last year we were able to be together on Christmas, and we do Mother's Day here and Father's Day here, and it seems like we get to celebrate with our family, and Sunday really is a family reunion. That's the way I look at it, so it's good to see all of you. Some I haven't seen in a while, and we're glad to see you as well. Thank you for coming. I'm excited about the message. We're doing really good in this Heart and Soul series. The small groups are alive. We're talking about greatness begins inside. And if you're joining us online or in the cafe, welcome. And today I want to look at part two. We're going to continue on in our teaching. If you have a teaching outline, you can grab it if you want to use that. If you're following along on your digital device or your Bible or the screen, however you get the Word of God, the main thing is the Word of God will change you and help you and strengthen you. Today, I want to talk about heart and soul, the towel and the bowl. Would you say that with me? Heart and soul, the towel and the bowl. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved, everyone say he loved. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them and he loves you. He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing now you do not understand, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed." Blessed. Everyone say blessed. Blessed. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Father, I sense your presence so strong, and I know you love your people. And Holy Spirit, you are here. I'm asking that you would just really speak to every heart. Lord, we're all just in a slightly different place today based on what's going on in our lives. But Lord, you have a way of making a message speak to people. And I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to each of our hearts through this message. Give us something that will encourage us, lift us, direct us, and make us more like Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Here we are just prior to the Last Supper. It's Thursday night of Holy Week. And Jesus and the disciples are assembled in a upper room. And Jesus knows on this Thursday evening that by Friday afternoon, he will be experiencing the agony of the cross. He knows what is going to happen, and he's leaning into it. Now he's with the people that he loves the most for a sacred meal. They're just getting settled, and the whole evening is before them. And we have to ask ourselves, on such a momentous occasion where soon Jesus is going to be crucified and then resurrected and then ascended and gone, and then these very men would be carrying on his ministry in his absence, what would he say to them on an occasion like this? You know, it's often our last words that are the most well chosen. Last words are meant to be lasting words. What would Jesus say to these men at the Last Supper? I believe he would say something like this to encapsulate this whole message. He would say, "Look, if you are a follower, your primary call is to serve." And I would throw that out as a point today for all of us to consider, that the primary call of every follower of Jesus is to be a servant. It's a part of our calling. If we're going to be like him, we must do as he has done. But Jesus didn't just talk about it. He did it. He modeled it. First and foremost, what he did in taking up the towel and the bowl would foreshadow his unbelievable love and focus and dedication to his followers. So he didn't just talk about it. He actually laid his life down. But now, less than 24 hours before the agony of the cross, Jesus picks up the towel and the bowl, and he shows the disciples and speaks to the disciples about what they should do. Why washing feet? Well, it was a practical duty. I mean, I know some churches have foot washing services, and I'm not going to have one today, just so you know. Don't be nervous, Pastor Colleen. It looks like I'm about to wash some feet. That ain't going to happen today. Okay, just... But in the day, of course, it was just an ordinary duty that had to be done because the people were wearing open-toed sandals, and in the sanitation conditions being what they were, the roads were filthy, the animals traveled the roads as well, and people were in the streets all day, and then when they would come into a setting like this where they were going to eat, you know, the style of their eating was to sit at a very low table or to recline with a plate almost near where your feet are. So your feet are kind of like right near the food and your feet are kind of in somebody else's face. And it's a whole situation, right? So washing feet is a dirty job. It's an unsanitary job. It's kind of a job you could get a nasty infection from, as a matter of fact. You'd probably get sick from it. And so as a result, people would relegate that to their lowest household slave. Well, whatever the reason was, on this occasion, there was no household servant available. It was a rented room. These are 12 men, you know. Nobody's thinking. And there's no one washing feet when they come in. And the 12 weren't about to do it, apparently. And so Jesus got down, and it was shocking. They were disturbed. It was like just seemed inappropriate. Are you washing our feet? And I can imagine how quiet that room got. But then Jesus starts to explain to them, look, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And what I'm doing here, you know, you call me Lord and you want to be like me and you say that I'm your teacher. Well, I want you to listen very carefully because here's what I need you guys to know on this night. On this night, I need you to know that ministry is about service. In fact, greatness is about service. Life is about service. And making your relationships great and making your life work is really about getting down and doing the heavy lifting and the hard work and the dirty, thankless jobs that keep relationships together and keep families together. I can't help but comment here on how grateful that I am for so many great fathers that are in this room today, because, you know, fathering really is kind of a thankless job. At times it could be a dirty job. At times it could be a job that people may forget to say thank you for, or they may criticize the way you've fathered. That seemed to be very popular. And of course, men are very as broken as anybody, and we make mistakes. And so fathering can be a little bit of a... But Jesus is saying, really, let me boil down all of life for you. It's just really all about serving. And if you and I want to follow Jesus, heart and soul, we have to pick up the towel and the bowl. If we want to be like him, and this is my challenge to each and every one of you. The young people are here today. Our college group is here today. Moms are here today. Dads are here today. Singles and marrieds. I want to just whatever you do in life, whether you work in a medical office or if you're in the ministry or you do labor or whatever you do, the heart and soul of following Jesus and what will make your life great is learning to do it with all your heart and soul, putting into the service of others. This is what he's telling us, and he's talking to us about his humility, and he's talking to us about his love for people. What he's doing is actually foreshadowing the love of the cross. And what he's doing is really... explaining servanthood, it's explaining humility, it's explaining walking in reconciliation. You know, it's very hard to be angry with someone who's washing your feet and serving you. It's also very hard to fight with someone when you are serving them. What he's saying is be reconciled. What he's saying is stop fighting about stuff. Stop fussing about stuff. Stop letting life be all about disagreements and criticisms. Lay all that down. If you really want to make connection with people, if you really want to be like Jesus, get down and serve and be that kind of a person. Foot washing expressed the heart and soul of Jesus. And I want us to look at about five areas that in this challenge for us to follow him, because he said, I want you to do what I'm doing. And we should as followers of Jesus. So how do we do that? What does it take to be like Jesus in this manner of serving and loving the people that are around us. So I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Let me say to those of you that are watching by video in a small group, this would be the time for you to go to chapter 2, part 2 of your workbook, and follow the directions and have a great Bible study. All right, let's look at this. First of all, I want to say to us that servanthood requires love. Servanthood requires that issue of love, and this is where we start. It says in John chapter 13, Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Now, John is queuing this up very carefully for us. He's setting the stage. Before he tells us that Jesus washed their feet, he cues it up by saying, look, I want you to know that Jesus was thinking about love in this moment. Jesus loved his followers. And I have good news for you. He loves you also. I'm not sure how persuaded you are of that at this moment. There may be people in your life, you're wondering, does my wife love me? Does my husband love me? Does my father love me? Does my pastor love me? Does my neighbor love me? You may have questions about that. I want to make sure that you understand one reality that will hold you steady in the middle of every other kind of question, and that is that God loves you. You are his child, and he created you, and he formed you, and he is for you. You say, well, I think he's mad at me because I have, some issues in my life. Well, I think he knew that you had issues before you knew that you had issues. In fact, it says in Scripture that he, while you were yet a sinner, he died for you. So God is not surprised with your issues. He's already made the choice about how he feels about you. There's nothing you can do to persuade him to love you more because he loves you as much as he could possibly love you. And there's nothing that you could do to persuade him to love you less because he's already chosen to love you before you even knew him. God is a God of love, and Jesus taught about love. Love is the heart and soul then of what he was saying about the towel and the bowl. Life is really all about love. Who do you love and how well do you love them? And he says, if you're going to serve, you have to do it out of love. He's modeling it. He's teaching it. We don't serve, of course, out of ritual. We certainly shouldn't serve out of obligation. You know, well, I'm expected as a father to do this, or I'm expected as a husband, or I'm expected to do this at work, so that's why I do it. There's got to be something deeper happening in your life than just fulfilling an obligation or a tradition or a spiritual ritual. Well, every Christian ought to, fill in the blank. Our life has got to be about love. What we do and how we act has got to be not necessarily to get people to love us or because we love them, but really it comes down to loving God. You can find yourself motivated with endless energy if you are doing life out of love for God. Now, if you're doing life out of a hope for someone to appreciate you, for someone to notice you, or for someone to reciprocate back, you might run out of energy pretty fast. Because in our broken world, people sometimes forget to say thank you. They sometimes don't get what you're doing. They don't understand, how hard it is for you to do whatever you're doing for them. They may not appreciate you or get you or whatever. So you do what you do out of love for God. And that holds you steady in the hard times. But there's something about the love of God that's a little bit of a fine print, and it's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, where it says, if somebody says, I love God, but hates their brother, he is a fibber. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he also love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have. Everyone say commandment. Wow, that's like, okay, this is not optional language here. This is a commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. You say, well, what is love? I mean, do you want me when I look at my friend or that guy at work that's driving me crazy or the guy that sits right behind me and sings too loud in church or whatever it is, you want me to like have goo-goo feelings for this person? Is it romantic love? Is that what God? No, love is just a verb. Love is just serving. This is love. When Jesus took the towel and the bowl, that's love. It's not love notes. It's not feelings. Love is giving. Love is serving the needs and best interests of the people in your life. And so if you say, Lord, I love you, but I just hate old people, or I hate this kind of person, or I hate that kind of, or I hate Fred, or I hate Thelma. Well, you better go back to the beginning and start over. Because if you say, I love God, but you I will not serve, and you I will not help, and I will not serve your best interests, then your faith is immature and incomplete. Our love and our service to God is expressed in our service to people, common, disagreeable, nasty-footed, unappreciative, ill-prepared people. And that's who we serve. I wish we could just serve the beautiful people, don't you? All right, so servanthood requires love. The second piece of this is about strength, that servanthood requires a kind of strength. And here we see Jesus. Look, Jesus is strong. I want to be strong like Jesus. He is so strong. Why is he strong? He's strong because imagine Jesus Christ washing the feet of Judas. It says clearly in our passage, he knew that Satan had put it into the heart of Judas. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew the cross was coming. He knew the whole thing. And he's still down on his hands and knees at the nasty, dusty feet of a man who is talking unbelievable trash about Jesus behind his back. And not just talking trash, but he's arranging for him to be arrested and placed into the hands of people who cannot wait to tear him apart. This is Jesus strong. And you know, you have to be strong to serve people that you disagree with. Anybody can serve somebody that loves them. That's not strength. Anybody can serve somebody that admires them or thanks them, but it takes real strength to bring your energy to people that are working against you. But this is called reconciliation. This is called living a life of love. And this is what Jesus taught us to do. And when he said, believe me, when he said, I'm showing you what to do, he wasn't saying, I'm showing you how to wash each other's feet. He's saying, I'm showing you how to live with people that are against you. And I said to us last week, if you're having a relational challenge with somebody, just make a decision that for the next 6 weeks, you're going to do something to bless them, to serve them, to help them. Do one thing for them every week that will surprise them, and watch what happens to that relationship. Because serving has a way of bringing us into reconciliation. It breaks all the suspicion, and it breaks down, and we're, you know, as humans, we're just like, all right, you know, you brought some stuff to me, and now it's on. I heard what you were saying, Jack. I heard you've been talking. I know what's going on, and now it's on. And watch what happens next. And then we start separating. Jesus knows what Judas is doing, and he goes out of his way to serve him. This is unbelievable strength. Where do you get that kind of strength? Where do you get strength in life? You get strength in life from understanding how God feels about you. How do you serve an enemy? Because your enemy feels a certain way about you, right? So that's where the gas runs out. It's like, okay, I'm not serving him. But we can if we understand God loves us. And this is the secret that we learn in John chapter 10, verse 17. Watch this. Jesus said, therefore, my Father loves me. Wow. Now, Jesus was conscious of something. What did he know? He knew the Father loved him. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay my life down so that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me. I'm not being persecuted. I'm not a victim here. I'm laying my life down on the cross of myself. He says, I have the power to lay it down. Powerful words. And I have the power to take it back up again, speaking of the resurrection. He said, I'm going to lay this thing down on the cross, and I'm going to take it up again. cross was an unbelievable sacrifice that Jesus made. How did he not only wash the feet of Judas, but how did Jesus lay his life down on a cross? Because crucifixion was an unbelievable instrument of terrorism. It was how Rome tormented its subject states. They humiliated you. They stripped you naked. They beat you. You were unconscious. You were, and then they prop you up in your own hometown, in front of your neighbors, pinned you to a cross. And Jesus knew what was coming. How did he have the strength to do that? First of all, it was his great love for us because he did that for our sins. And aren't you glad that because of his death, we can have life? But also, even in a greater way, he told us the secret. I'm able to do these things because I know my Father loves me. And I think there's a secret for us in life when we're doing things that are hard, that we could tap into that same energy to understand I can do all things through Christ because I know the Father loves me. I can love an unappreciative neighbor. I can love someone who's different than me. I can love someone who's attacking me and not feel bad if they don't love me back because my Father loves me. And the reason Jesus was so strong was because he was so in tune. Look, I'm not sure if you have a father in the natural who loves you. I hope you do. I hope it went perfect for you. But I know that in this life, it doesn't always work according to the storybook. But I will tell you that whether your father is in your life or great or whatever it is, that you have a father in heaven that is totally for you. And that he loves you, and that should give you the strength. A young man just said to me today, I never had a father to affirm me. But he said, I understand now that God is my father. And I saw the strength coming into him. Because you could go through life and say, well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I never got this, and I never got that. And you feel weak, and you feel worn down and broken because of it. But the truth is, if you know that God loves you and he's your father, it's going to give you all kinds of strength. Knowing our Heavenly Father loves us gives us the strength to lay our lives down. Let me say thank you to all the dads that have done a great job laying your life down for your family. It's not always popular or fun or easy. You know, when you're a dad, you set limits for your children. When you're a dad, you say no. When you're a dad, your kids may not always appreciate that, but it is so important that you're laying your life down for your wife, your children, for your neighbors. You're laying your life down. You're strong, and you can do this, men, because God is your father. Keep that strong in your mind, and you're never going to run out of energy. The third piece of this is that servanthood requires persistence. Now, why do I say that? Well, because when Jesus started serving Peter, when he started washing feet in this manner, Peter didn't get it. He said, this isn't, you're washing my feet? You're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus persisted in that. Even though Peter didn't understand him, he kept serving. And I think about that, and I think what a great idea it is for us to continue serving even when people don't get us. Even when maybe it's not, and people will, they'll fight you. When you're trying to do the right thing, either serving the Lord or serving in your community or serving your church or whatever, there are people that will not get it and say, why are you wasting all your time? Why are you giving your money? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why don't you go use your gift in the world where you can make some money? Why do you do what you do? They won't get you. And that's where you need to persist. You say, no, I really do understand who I am. I really do understand whose I am. I understand where I'm going. I'm going to the I've got my life arranged here, and I'm working toward a point and a purpose, even if you don't understand. You will understand later, Jesus said to Peter. Not every father is understood. Not every mother is understood. Not every Christian is understood. But you just keep going, because at the end, there's a blessing. And the scripture says this, Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary. Everyone say weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I thought about that word weary. It occurred to me that weary is different than tired. So I don't think Paul is saying, don't get tired. Look, if you're raising children, that's a good thing, right? Will you be tired? Yes, you will. If you're working in a medical office, or if you're working in ministry, or if you're on a construction site, or if you're a student carrying 15, 16, 18 units, that's tiring. It's good, and it's tiring. And if you're an intercessor, or you're on a ministry team, or whatever it is, you will be tired serving the Lord. It's not that he's saying don't be tired. What he's saying is don't be weary, because weary has a charge on it. Weary is like, I can't do this anymore. And it almost speaks to me of like an oppression. In fact, Daniel chapter 7 talks about how in the last days, the enemy will rise up to wear out the saints. And weariness can get into your spirit. Weariness can get into your prayer life. Weariness can get into your marriage. And it starts to feel not just tired. It's like, I'm weary. I'm done. And this is where Paul says, it's okay to be tired. I think he would say, it's okay to be tired, but what he's saying is, don't let that weariness get into you and destroy the blessing that God has for you. Because people quit and they back off and they say, I'm out. I'm out of this relationship. I'm out of my faith. I just can't do it anymore. I'm not going to do this. And they lose the blessing that God has for them. I would say to you, pick up the towel and the bowl. And expect that as you are serving your employer, or you're serving in your church, or you're serving in your community, expect that you will be tired. And even there might be moments where weariness will touch you. But I would say to you, do not be weary in your well-doing. Let God strengthen you, because you know that he loves you, and you're doing everything that you do for the right reason, not for people, but for him. And do your parenting for the Lord, and do it that way. And you will be tired, but you don't have to be weary. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. All right, here's the fourth thing. Servanthood requires connection to Jesus. Now, I love having our high school students in here today. I love all the faces that I see, and so many walks of life and cultures and so on. I want to say something to everyone that is here, no matter your age or situation in life. You need to be connected to Jesus. If you want your life to work, and I don't mean just go to church or, you know, sign a church membership log or something like that. I mean, you need a vital connection to Jesus. In this story, when Jesus is talking to Peter, and Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says this, if I don't cleanse you. Now he's talking spiritual. He says, if you don't let me cleanse you, you and I have nothing in common. You and I cannot relate. Because you see, sin is a problem for God. He's holy. He's so holy that he can't abide anything that is unholy. So the only way we could connect to God is to be washed of our unholiness. You see, we are dusty, filthy, footed people. We walk in a broken world, and we think broken thoughts, and it's everywhere. If you say, well, I've never sinned, I would say, really, you've never lied? You've never hated? You've never stolen? You've never gossiped? You've never attacked someone? You've never cheated? You've never done the wrong thing sexually? I would say, take that somewhere else, dude, because the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. So he says to us, unless I wash you, I can't know you. And Peter understands what he said. He said, then not just my feet, but my head and my hands and my whole life, Lord, wash me. Then Jesus made an interesting statement. He said, people that have been bathed don't need to bathe again. They just need to wash their feet. In other words, in the culture of the day, if you took your morning bath or your evening bath before you went to bed, whatever it was, you're clean. But if you walk around, you got to have a cleansing of your feet. Now, what I think he's saying here is, once you're saved, once you're forgiven, you don't have to keep getting saved. Okay, once you give your life to Christ and he washes your sins away, you know, you're saved. You're done. You're there. All right? He loves you, and he's not going anywhere. He's not going to drop you or leave you, but you are walking around in a very dusty world. So make sure that you have connection to me. Make sure that you're taking time to read your Bible. Make sure that you're taking time to pray, to be in God's house, to do the things that will cleanse your feet. Because you're picking things up with your feet. Feet speak about lifestyle. That's your walk. That's where you go. And your feet are very absorbent. Your feet can pick things up. I saw something in the health magazine the other day about wrapping onions around your, you know, putting onions in your sock because your feet are so absorbent. I'm thinking, well, that isn't going to happen. Some kind of, you know, that. But it's true that we pick up, you know, human beings are very absorbent, aren't we? We get around negative, angry people, and suddenly it's amazing how we absorb that negativity. We get around divisive people, get around whisperers, and it's amazing how we kind of get in on the whispering. And yeah, I noticed the same thing. I didn't want to say anything, but you know, since we're talking about it, this is all just a prayer request, of course. We're walking around in this dusty world, and some of that dust is getting on us, and we need time in God's presence, and we need the Holy Spirit to wash those attitudes. And if you're not, maybe you're saved, but you just haven't washed your feet like in 6 months. Dude, what you don't know is everybody around you knows that you haven't washed, and you need to wash because it gets in you and it gets on you. And so a couple of points here. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me, Jesus said. We need to give our lives to Christ. And so I would say to you, if you haven't given your life to Christ, why don't you do it? We're going to pray in just a few moments. Give your life to Jesus. But also, if your heart has turned away, or if it's just a matter of you've been in some dusty places, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to refresh you and even keep your ministry life. I would say the second thing, that even in your ministry life, you've got to be cleansed before you give and before you serve and before you've got to allow the Lord to wash you. And I have this phrase, I think we can find it. It says, because I allow God to wash me, I'm able to minister. Can we find that one? Cleansing is ministry. Cleansing is essential to ministry for God. But let's go to the next one. I think there's a... Go ahead. Don't be shy. Yeah. It goes like this. I can rightly minister because I allow Jesus to minister to me. All right. Let's move quickly to the last point because I'm running out of time. Are you getting anything out of this? Okay. Everyone say... Towel and bowl. Heart and soul. All right, number five, servanthood leads to blessing. I want to say that the best part is this, that, you know, when you serve, Jesus said, blessed are you. Blessed, happy, joyful are you if you understand these things and do them. He's not calling us to a life of sadness and, oh, I have to go to church. Oh, I have to be on the worship team. Oh, they want me to serve in ministry. Oh, tonight is small group. No, he said, blessed are you if you're serving and doing. Once you know God loves you and you're doing what you're doing because you want to say thank you to God, it's just, it gives you energy. It gives you joy. Paul the Apostle said, he said, remembering the words of Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. So you're giving not just your tithes and offerings, of course, but you're giving in life. You're giving to your children. You're giving affirmation. You're giving reconciliation. You're giving kindness to those who aren't kind to you. You're following Jesus, and it's a blessing. It's good. I would say this to us. You don't have to serve. God's not going to come and force you to serve. Of course he's not. It's your choice. It was Jesus' choice to lay his life down. He said, I have the power, I have the strength to lay it down, I have the strength to take it back up. But really, when you understand that serving is a blessing, then the ball's in your court. And blessing is a choice. It's a choice. Watch this. It's a choice to be blessed. It's a choice to say, yes, Lord, I will do it your way. I want to be blessed. If you feel like you're not blessed, don't feel sad for yourself. Just make a different choice. God wants you to be blessed. How many want to be blessed? I can tell you, as I challenge us, come on, worship team. We're going to close the service. We're going to bring our tithes and offerings in a minute. I want to pray for you guys. But let me tell you about this towel in the bowl. Pastor Albert was on point earlier in the service when he said, I'm so grateful for the local church. Kathy and I, and so many of us, I don't want to like go into stories of the old days because I know that's kind of boring. But in our church, you know, we didn't always have a paid facility staff. And, you know, back in the early days, there was no janitor. The only way the church bathroom got cleaned was the people cleaned it. I mean, I'm talking toilets and everything. I mean, there wasn't anybody to refer it to. And yours truly and dozens of us, we cut our spiritual teeth cleaning bathrooms, washing vans, painting widows' bedrooms, relining their shut. Just, we didn't have anybody to job it out to. And at that time, we were the church. Nobody was paid. And we just served. And it was wonderful. There's something that happens in your life when you lay your title down and your entitlement down. And you just say, you know what? There doesn't seem to be anybody here to do this. How about if I do it? I'll just go ahead and get down on my knees and put some heart and soul into this and make this family better, make this church better, make this community better. You know, there may not be somebody that we can pay to do all the things that need to happen in America. But maybe some of the stuff that needs to happen in America happens when you and I pick up the towel in the bowl. And we just do the hard, nasty work of reconciliation and love and honoring and forgiving. How many understand what I'm saying? Amen. It's a blessing. This is the path to blessing. And Jesus said, I do this as an example to you to show you how you should follow me. How many want to follow Jesus? Yes. All right, let's embrace this. This is not hard. This is not easy. He didn't say this is going to be easy, but he said, this is the way to be happy. And so I want to be happy and I want to be strong. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that your grace would just touch every one of us and remind us, Lord, of all that we need to be reminded. I pray for people that are weary today, not just tired maybe, but maybe just a step beyond tired. They're experiencing weariness in life. Lord, would you reconnect them to a source of joy and strength in their marriages, in their family lives, in their work lives, in every way, especially in their spiritual life, in their ministry life. Lord, reconnect us to joy. Teach us how to follow Jesus. Just while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to close the service. I don't want to, though, until I give you a chance to be cleansed. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, if I don't cleanse you, I can't have anything to do with you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, this would be a great time for you to say, Jesus, cleanse me. Jesus, I'm yours. If that's you and you know in your heart, or maybe you're a backslider, maybe your heart is turned away somehow. You got your heart going in a wrong direction and now you just want to turn back to God. If you're away from God in any measure and you just want to connect to Jesus and be saved, forgiven and healed. If that's you, just put your hand up here in the service. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for your hand over there. Just put it up wherever you are. You're making a decision. See, blessed is a decision. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. It's your choice. Thank you, sir. You don't have to be saved, but blessing is a choice. Freedom is a choice. Favor is a choice. Pastor, pray for me. Lift up your hand. I want to receive Christ. Thank you, ma'am. I see you. It's five hands going up. Wonderful. God's doing a beautiful work. So I want to pray for those of you that are raising your hand. You can put your hand down. Father, I pray you do a miracle in their lives, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that as they open the door of their heart, that you will come in and change them. In Jesus' name, do it, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Guys, just look up at me. We're going to put a prayer up on the screen. I want to invite you to say a prayer. We're going to close the service with our giving and some worship. We're not quite done. But really, this could be the most important thing you've done all week, is to say a prayer to God. It might be the most important thing you've done, especially if you raised your hand today. This, I would say, would be the most important thing you've ever done. So let's say this prayer together, everyone, just with our voices, in the cafe, online, right here in the auditorium. We raised our hands. We didn't raise our hands. Everyone praying out loud. Let's say this to the Lord. Here we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for the example you set for me. Forgive me. Say that again. Forgive me for competing more than serving. Forgive me for striving rather than resting. Help me to see that giving up my life leads to life. Help me to be great in your eyes by becoming a servant, trusting you to bless me. When will he bless you? We trust him for that, right?
Yes.
In Christ's name, amen. Five people gave their hearts to the Lord today. I think we ought to let them know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ushers, come and serve the people. Thank you for your giving. Boy, that PayPal thing is cool. I just did it today. It's like 12 seconds. Man, it's nice. So give to the Lord. Thank you for your generosity. Let's worship, and then I'll come back and I'll speak a blessing over you as we dismiss.
Thank you for that word, Lord. Let's respond to it and sing this together. Give myself away. I give myself away.
Together, let's make it our prayer.
My life is not my own.
Oh, to you I belong. That part, my life is not my own.
Yes.
My life is not
my own.
That's it. That's the sweet spot. That's right where we want to be. Come on. Mean it. Say it to the Lord. My life is not my own. My life is not
my own.
Thank you. think that's just where we need to be. How many think that's right where we need to be? And if we're there, wow, we're there. Okay. Life is not perfect. It's not easy. But I think if we're there, it just goes right. We have joy. We have energy. We have peace. I want to thank every one of you that are serving, whether you're serving as a father, serving here in our church, serving in the community, if you're a peacemaker, if you're a bridge builder, if you're a lover of children, a lover of the poor, if you help people, serve people, if you're a single mom and you're just, it's all you can do just to serve your kids, man, we bless you. That is incredible. And we thank you for saying, we pray that God's grace and peace will rest on you big time. Now, I'm going to pitch. I want you guys to catch. Get your hands up. I'm going to bless you. Father, I thank you for your grace. Let a blessing just drop down. Your presence, your grace, your peace, let it drop down like the dew upon our lives, Lord. Thank you for loving us through our brokenness. Thank you for helping us through our pain. Thank you for giving us hope for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. You can see my friends here. They're at the front. And if you need prayer, if you need healing prayer, we believe that God does miracles. And if you just want to talk to somebody, you can come and join us. God bless you. You're dismissed. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. God bless you guys. Thank you.